that are of a more economic note. So please, you still have time to send in your emails to give us your feedback, to give us some ideas, to give us your comments about what you think. Is libertarian necessarily a skeptic thing? Is skepticism inherently libertarian? What about things like the HST or the bailouts? Something economical and skeptical. Give us your feedback.
And this is Rob just saying that you should go check out the Halloween train at Stanley Park. This year the theme is Legends and Myths of the Underworld. And have a good evening.
All right, so bye-bye,
everybody.
Or should
I say a ghoul evening.
Have a safe Halloween.
Far too often, corporations operate in ways that destroy the environment and violate human rights. From northern Alberta to the Ecuadorian Amazon, oil companies have extracted great wealth and left behind only destruction and poverty. To learn more, plan now to attend the Amnesty International Film Festival, November 12th to 15th at the Van City Theatre, 1181 Seymour Street. Full program available at amnestyfilmfest.ca. Brought to you in part by CITR Radio.
September 1980, by the dark of night, there's a bright green light. Still has this job and it's the 1990s. There's no time to sleep, but still these dreams of hell.
And you're listening to Wiener's Barbecue on CITR.
Welcome, everybody, to Wiener's Barbecue on 101.9 FM, CITR Radio, Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada, every Tuesday from 4:30 to 6 p.m. Lots to get to on the show today. There's a big basketball game going on at the War Memorial Gymnasium on Friday night, the big home opener for UBC men's and women's basketball. Huge game for the men. They'll be taking on Trinity Western, their big rival. You know, these are going to be two teams. Who's favored to win the Canada West Conference? It has to be UBC or Trinity Western. Jacob Dirksen coming to War Memorial Gym. You know there's going to be lots of Trinity fans out there. UBC, new-look team. A little bit of a new-look team in the 09-10 season. Three starters gone from last year, Matt Racher and Bryson Cool. Two big men up front, but the big loss, Chris Dick, leading scorer, you know, maybe not statistically in every game last year, but there are some games down the stretch. Where is UBC without Chris? And one of the great clutch players you'll ever see in Canadian college basketball, he's no longer on UBC. So when you lose a guy like that, can you be better? It's a big question. I don't think so. I actually don't. They're going to have to prove me here. You know, they've got the talented guys to do it, but without Chris Dick, you know, that's your best player. And they're giving me the numbers out there, these coaches and everything, saying, oh, other guys stepped up when Chris wasn't there, and Chris was injured, and his numbers weren't that great for a lot of the games. But, I mean, I saw a lot of games, and Chris Dick, in a lot of those games, was the reason UBC won. He took him on their back, shot lights out, and he was so good in the clutch. And when you lose that player, can you be better? I don't think so, unless other guys are going to be able to replace that role. Maybe it's a situation where Chris is gone, so, you know, Blaine LeBranch, Josh White, Brett Malish, maybe this is now their time to do it for UBC. But yeah, it's tough to be a better player than Chris Dick was in those moments. So we'll see. In Trinity Western, this is a team that's, they've lost a couple guys, Brian Bamman and Jamie Vaughn, backcourt, frontcourt guys, but they brought in some talented players. It is going to be a hell of a basketball game on Saturday. Big question is Trinity Western favored this year in the Canada West? I mean, it's real tough to say so in the preseason, but we're going to know whoever wins Friday is the favorite coming the rest of the way. And it's a stupid schedule in the Canada West. And the stupidity of the Canada West, the idiots who run this conference, is a big topic of my show today. They, of course, have changed the schedule in basketball, where it used to be UBC would play Trinity Western four times a year. Then they knocked it down to three times a year. Well, now it's twice. So thanks, Canada West, you dumb people. You're taking away all rivalries. And, you know, we're going to get into it. You know, that's a big topic. We're going to have Vern Knopp, assistant coach, UBC men's basketball, is going to be with us at about 5:15 today. Always love having Vern on the show. Also on the show, so we're going to be previewing the UBC Trinity Western basketball game. It's going to be tough. It's going to be tough. And, you know, it's only the preseason, so you can't really say who's better, who's worse, but it's time to get this thing going. We're going to know on Friday. It's a fun one. Also on the show today, Milan Dragicevic at about 5:40, head coach UBC Thunderbird men's hockey team. Got off to that excellent start this year, 3-0-1, coming into the weekend, traveling to Lethbridge. They get swept. So great start. Now it's an okay start. Tough break there for UBC hockey. Could not get it done on the weekend. To tell us why, Milan Dragicevic, their head coach, will be with us. Starting the show, though, today, and we're going to take a quick break in a moment. I'm going to try to get Sean Olson on, the assistant coach for SFU football. You know, UBC men's football ended their season, and Jeff Sargent, who's done a lot for CITR Sports, he's one of our guys, he's going to be with us. UBC ends their football season with a not good at all 1-7 record, very disappointing year for UBC men's football. Yes, there were injuries. Yes, they lost guys to the CFL, but when you're 1-7 on the season, you don't win a home game, and you're outscored in an 8-game season by 153 points, just under 20 points per game. That's what they, on average, got outscored by. That's a bad season. You got to say that about UBC men's football this year. However, the record says 2-6. And here we go. The idiots at the Canada West have been spiteful, low in character, if you will. They have taken away two wins from the SFU football team for playing a player deemed ineligible for the first two games of the season. This player ended up being eligible the rest of the year, but those two games, the paperwork hadn't been properly filed. We're going to get into this in the next half hour on this show. But SFU, in a truly disgusting move by the Canada West, has forfeited the game versus UBC, which they won, and a game versus Manitoba, which they won, because a backup quarterback who, at that time, due to improper paperwork, is my understanding. I'm going to have to be explained to this to me as the show goes on here in the next half hour. We're hitting this for the next half hour. SFU has been deemed a 1-6 team. UBC goes to 2-6 on the year with a bullcrap win. But SFU, 1-6 to finish is currently. They should be 3-4 battling for a playoff spot. But because of a spiteful move by the Canada West, low blow here. And this is disgusting. SFU is leaving to the NCAA next year. Apparently people at the Canada West didn't like it. Apparently it's a couple schools in Alberta. Alberta and Calgary, I'm assuming. This is what I have gathered. It's Alberta and Calgary, because I'm told it's a couple schools in Alberta. Lethbridge, I doubt that. But Brantneau. Yeah. So they are forfeited. They kind of had this thing where they played this backup quarterback a couple games. It was deemed ineligible because the paperwork hadn't been properly filed. But he ended up being eligible once the paperwork was properly filed. Well, this is a stupid move by the Canada West, which does stupid things all the time. There's no question about it. They're dumb. And they've proven it over the years, especially with this suspending and taking away wins rules. They did it to UBC men's hockey a couple of years ago. Last year, Canada West Pacific Division playoffs, Trinity Western, in a three-game series versus Victoria, played an ineligible player, but they deemed it, and I talked to them about it, they deemed it, under these circumstances, we're not going to give the series to Victoria. We're gonna say Scott Allen, the head coach of Trinity Western, he'll get two games in the UBC series, or one, whatever it was. That's what we're going to deem should happen here. Okay. Hold on one moment. I have a call. Bear with me. Now with me, sorry for that little delay, folks, with me from the SFU coaching staff to talk about this more. And, you know, Sean Olson, former quarterback for UBC. Sean, you're a great guy to talk about this, and I've been harking on the Canada West just before you dialed in there, is you were in a situation 10 years ago here at UBC. We're in a playoff game versus Saskatchewan. They played an ineligible player the whole game. The league admitted the player was ineligible, but Saskatchewan still gets to go on in the playoffs. You guys go home. And what reason, as a team at UBC, were you given at that time?
Well, it's funny that that's the thing that one of the things that bothers me the most about this whole situation is just the inconsistency. But they had told us as a team that it was basically due to the fact that Saskatchewan had flown directly to, I believe it was the UTEC Bowl, where that was being played. I think it was somewhere in Quebec. And that it would cost too much money to have them all fly back and to book our flights out there instead. So as a team, I remember distinctly thinking that I don't know if we really wanted to win that way, but you just sort of felt like there was an injustice and an inconsistency in the rules and the way they were being applied.
So, Sean, break it down. What the Canada West is saying is for two games this year, your backup quarterback was ineligible for those two games in particular, but he, once the proper paperwork, as far as they were concerned, got filed, he was deemed eligible. So all they did was they took away the two games when the paperwork was, aka, not officially filed. Was that their reason here?
Yeah, basically what it boiled down to, there was a clerical issue, and there's a list of master's programs or graduate programs that are acceptable for transfer students to waive the 365-day waiting period. We had thought that Caleb was in one of those, and it turned out that it was classified as the wrong type of program for the thing, and it was a clerical error is what it boils down to. And the CIS, I think there was a story in the province was basically released that they basically deemed that there was no intent of wrongdoing, although everyone involved has acknowledged that by the letter of the law there was something that was amiss. And that there should be no sanctions other than this $1,000 fine. And the Canada West decided to impose their own sanctions on it. And I mean, that is technically their right, I guess. But you know, I think this goes back a little bit further as far as whether Simon Fraser, as soon as Simon Fraser decided that they were going to go to the NCAA, there was definitely a number of signs that Canada West was looking to create some kind of sanctions on our university. So,
well, I mean, you look at it, and Caleb Clark is the player, correct, John?
Yeah, Caleb Clark, yeah.
Okay, in the game versus UBC, where, you know, you guys won that one going away, 1-for-2 coming off the bench as a quarterback, 8 yards throwing the football, caught one pass for 9 yards. In your 41-7 win versus Manitoba, another game where you blew him out, Caleb Clark's numbers in that game coming off the bench, 2-for-3 for 42 yards and a touchdown, but I'm quite sure the game was out of reach at that point, Sean. I mean, this was a fact where this player, who they ended up deeming it was just simply a clerical error, I mean, he wasn't even a factor in these games, really, was he?
No, there was no factor whatsoever. Both those games were well over when he came in and played. I think in total there was something like maybe 6 minutes of playing time in two games at the end of the fourth quarter that he participated in. And you know, it really, he had no bearing. That's the thing that bothers him the most as a player, is he obviously feels responsible to some degree that he's let the team down and he's the cause of this, and which is unfortunate because he's a great kid. He's done nothing wrong. All he was trying to do was get into a master's business program and trying to play some football. He sat on the bench for 3 years at Western Michigan, and he just wanted to play college football and get his degree, his master's degree. So, and he had no bearing on those games whatsoever. So it's frustrating for everyone involved. You know, again, the big thing for me is just consistency. I wish if there was a consistent rule in place and it was enforced the same way over the last 10 years over all sports, then you know what, we have nothing to talk about. But the fact is that it's enforced piecemeal on a daily basis. On a Tuesday, it could be one way. On a Wednesday, it could be a different way. If it's a full moon, it's this way. And that's the thing that's always troubling.
Here's an example I can give you, Sean. You ready? That happened last year in the playoffs.
I love stories.
Trinity Western beat Victoria in Game 3 of their best-of-3 Canada West playoff game in men's basketball. And the way it works is you're only allowed to have a 12-person roster, okay, in those games. Well, Trinity Western in Game 3 put in Daniel Demian, okay? You know, they forgot the rule that you're only allowed to play 12. Daniel Demian didn't play a full minute, but he hit a free throw in that game. Trinity Western won that game 87-85. So your guy didn't even have an impact, the game was over. You guys blew him out and he barely played. This guy did play in a game that was real close. The Canada West decided, and I interviewed them about it, is their reason. One of the reasons was we took into consideration the importance of the game. They didn't take the win away from Trinity Western. Travel money was not a consideration here with this, because the games were played at UBC the following weekend. So, you know, nobody has to fly. And all they did was they suspended the Trinity coach for, it was one, maybe two games in their playoff series versus UBC. But Daniel Demian, ineligible player, played in a 2-point Trinity Western series deciding game, got a point, and Trinity Western won the game by 2. And they didn't take a win away from them, Sean. Obviously, and you know, I don't know what you can comment, but as you mentioned, you guys are leaving the Canada West, and a lot of them weren't happy about it. And I'm an outsider, Sean. I'm a UBC guy. This looked like pure spite from their point of view.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to say one thing to the other, you know, especially attacking the character of the people that are involved. But, you know, it seems like a certain thing to us, and especially when you cite, and there's many more examples of just inconsistencies and rulings that are very, very similar in nature, and where they completely take a different approach to the enforcement of the rules and what the penalty is and stuff. And I mean, you talk about the importance of games. I mean, that might have been a playoff game, the Hardy Cup in 1999, but basically those two games are going to prevent us from being in the playoffs. They're going to put Manitoba basically in the playoffs, depending on what happens this week, and they're going to cost a team like University of Alberta or University of Regina a seat in the playoffs. I mean, those are pretty important games for a number of universities in Canada West. You know, and it just is unfortunate that you can't really see the rhyme or reason to it. At least I can't see it, and I wish they would. Maybe they haven't really explained their actions other than sort of a stock statement that they released at the get-go, and I would just love to hear what their rationale is.
Well, Sean, we can send it to you. We've got Val Schneider, the head of the Canada West. Our Jeff Sargent interviewed him a little earlier in the week.
Okay.
And we're simply talking about what happened to you guys there. He says it was nothing vindictive, of course.
Of course, of course. That's what they're going to say.
Of course he said that. Did you guys see this coming at all, or did you think it was a dead issue?
Well, you know, it had been going on since probably very early in the season. I think just before the Alberta game is when it first came up, and I kind of had figured. I mean, earlier they had talked about preventing us from playing in any of the playoffs for the whole university for all sports. Then when that wasn't going to hold water or legally or whatever, they ended up putting us on probation. So I kind of knew something was up personally. The Caleb Clark thing specifically, they notified us that they were looking into something. They were asking for documents. We were trying to help them out and do everything we could. So I had a feeling it was going to continue on until we got some kind of official ruling. And it was a little unfortunate for us as a team and as for coaching staff, because every week it was like, oh, Caleb's ineligible now. Now he's eligible. We get word from one body saying that he's eligible now because of this, this, and this, and then he's ineligible. It was handled very strangely. One of the things that you kind of would hope is that before the season that there should be some kind of decision on, you know, with all the information, the programs and stuff, it should go to some, body, whether it's Canada West or CIS, that would determine the eligibility of players. I mean, similar to what they do in the NCAA and the NAIA. And the league, not the universities, are deciding whether schools are eligible, or certain players are eligible, which, you know, is another sort of part of the process that is a little bit puzzling as far as the way that things are done. So.
Yeah, I mean, you look at it though, Sean. I mean, as you mentioned, this takes your team out of the playoffs, and the reason they gave me for the Trinity not taking the win away was the importance of the game. Well, like you said, this completely changes around the Canada West playoff picture, so the importance of these games were huge. You know, basically, how did the players react when they heard this? What was the reaction?
Well, I think the players have been they've handled it as well as possibly can. They were very disappointed. You know, there's, you know, 90 some odd guys in our team that work very hard and have all the same aspirations as all college athletes everywhere, and are trying to do the best thing both academically and athletically and compete every week and put their heart and soul on the line. So to find out that what they've done ends up meaning nothing for this season, and some of these guys, this is their last year, especially with the transition that we're already going through to the NCAA, that affects eligibility and a number of things for guys in our team. So it definitely has hurt them. They don't express it on a daily basis, but there's a definite disappointment among our guys that they sort of feel like something has been taken from them. So,
as a coaching staff too, Sean, and really just the program in general, is this a case, you know, you are leaving the Canada West? I mean, it's such a bad way to leave, but is it also a positive that this happened? Like, at least one spin on it is, let's get the hell out of this conference already?
Well, you know, I wouldn't look at it that way. I think personally, I've spent a lot of good years in Canada West. I think it's a very good conference. I think the CIS is a great university conference and stuff. Like, I just wish there was more consistency. I wish there was more rhyme or reason to why things were being done. And I think a lot of our guys, and myself included, will miss the Canadian competition. There's something nice about playing against your own countrymen and having your own league and with the Canadian rules. So, I mean, I don't think we're, you know, everyone's ecstatic to be leaving, and obviously we're frustrated with this instance, but I think on the whole, the CIS and the Canada West are a good, respectable conference that provides good entertainment and good opportunities to Canadian university athletes. So,
good answer, Sean.
Thanks.
Well done. You know, Sean, last thing, and thank you so much for doing this, is it sure looks fishy. That's all I have to say. And from an outsider looking in, man, I mean, I said it all along when I heard this. They can't possibly do that. They can't. I mean, how vindictive is that, you know? And,
yeah, I think if you see through to the other side and you know all the facts, it definitely you know, it smells a little bit off to me. But again, we have to keep in mind that they're all doing the best things, and then they're, you know, if they say it's not vindictive, you know, we'll have to take them at their word, I guess.
Yeah, that's what they said, Sean. It had nothing to do with you guys leaving in the ill will. Just so you know, that was their quote. So
okay, good. That's good to know.
There you go, Sean. Best of luck finishing off the season versus Manitoba. Thanks for doing this. I think you got a raw deal here.
Thanks, Daryl.
Sean Olson, assistant coach for SFU football, who, due to playing a player who was ineligible for the first two games of the year, due to faulty paperwork, I mean, this guy's deemed eligible from here on in, they had to forfeit their first two games, their first two wins, one versus UBC, which doesn't help the Thunderbirds at all to get into the playoffs, and another one, which puts Manitoba from 3-4 to 4-3. They're now in third place. SFU drops from 3-4 to 1-6. They are now out of the playoffs. And, of course, SFU leaving to go NCAA next year. And the Canada West not happy with the way they did it. Pulls down with a bullcrap decision like this. Shame on you, Canada West. Well, we're going to take a break here on Wiener's Barbecue. And when we're back, we're going to stay on this. Jeff Sargent from our CITR sports department, he's going to be with us. He interviewed Val Schneider, the head of the Canada West. So we're going to get into that with Jeff. You are listening to 101.9 FM.
Well, the party is off to a good start. Guests are on time. Everyone's out to have fun and to help others fun.
What's the matter? Doesn't that sound exciting to you?
UBC students have an alternative. Looking to unwind? Check out one of the sub's two licensed establishments.
The Gallery Lounge is your location for a wide variety of draft beers at student-friendly prices. Come to the gallery for a relaxed atmosphere and great food, including the famous pizza pretzel. Fellow students provide the entertainment with weekly open mic and karaoke nights. The gallery is located on the main concourse of the sub and open Monday through Saturday till 1 a.m. This business is owned and operated by the AMS, your student society. All the fancy dancing. Guess you better find your
way back home. Walking alone at night can be scary.
Stop right there, student. Why walk alone when you can call SafeWalk? The safety and comfort of everyone on campus is important. That's why we're here.
One of our
SafeWalk is a free student-run foot patrol service with two-person co-ed teams that will meet you and accompany you anywhere on campus to make sure you get there safely.
Keep an eye out for our bright red reflective jackets and signature foot logo, and let your next walk be with us.
What a huge relief! Now I'll never have to worry about the terrors that could happen when walking through such a big campus at night.
For a walk, you can call 604-822-5355. Use one of our direct line phones located in some of the campus libraries. Use one of the big blue phone booths. Or even ask campus security to contact us.
If you see walkers around campus and you'd like them to accompany you, stop and ask.
Back to Wiener's Barbecue here on 101.9 FM, CITR Radio, Vancouver, Canada. We are talking SFU and their, what I think was just a bullcrap move. That's the quote I'm going to go with, by the Canada West. Very vindictive decision by this conference. SFU, of course, leaving to go to the NCAA next year. A lot of people in the NCAA not happy how they did it. SFU plays a player who, due to faulty paperwork, was ineligible for their first two games of the season, both victories, and it was just faulty paperwork. He was deemed eligible for the rest. They had to forfeit those two wins, both blowout victories, both games where this player really had no impact in the wins. And just like that, SFU goes from 3-4 to 1-6. Their season, their playoff hope is over. I know we're a UBC station, but this is just wrong. With us on the line from the CITR Sports Department, he interviewed earlier in the week the head of the Canada West, Val Schneider, our very own Jeff Sargent. Jeff, how you doing today?
I'm not too bad. Yourself?
Pretty good. So am I going overboard here? What do you think? I think this looks real bad, Jeff.
Well, you say bullcrap. The league says fair. It certainly does raise some questions as to whether it is completely fair. As you mentioned, a great example there when you're talking to Sean about last year's basketball playoffs. That's a big question. Again, the UBC football example from the last decade. But, you know, I don't know. Do you take it at face value, what the Canada West says? You'll hear you're going to play Val Schneider there when he does say that they would have treated any other school the same way. But there's certainly a lot of questions to be asked just because the history leading up to this, with the Canada West placing sanctions on the university before all of this even happened. So certainly you can ask those questions.
Because, Jeff, you know, bad blood. Apparently a lot of people in the Canada West not happy with the way SFU is leaving the conference. And it's almost like, oh, great, we got an opening. And I heard it's the two Alberta schools. You know, I don't know. This is what I heard. I heard it's Calgary and Alberta. And shame on them if they did it.
Well, Calgary would certainly have a beef with this in particular because Caleb Clark, who's the player in question, he had been approached by the Dinos. He's an Alberta boy, so he's from southern Alberta, rather. And the Calgary Dinos were interested in him, and they were under the impression that he was not eligible to play. So basically they said they moved on, and then all of a sudden he's dressing for Simon Fraser. So while we don't know, I would certainly think that Calgary does have a hand in this.
Yeah, and then of course the example I bring up, you know, you look at Caleb Clark in those two games, and I remember interviewing the Canada West when Trinity Western had their whole confrontation with Victoria. They told me they took in the significance of the games and what that player contributed in the games. Because there's nobody questions that Trinity Western played an ineligible player in those games. They're able to keep that win. SFU gets the losses, and don't tell me these games weren't significant for SFU. Jeff, they go from 3-4, tied for third, fighting for a playoff spot. Season over. They're 1-6. They're done.
Well, yeah, I mean, in an eight-game season, every game is so important. So even if you take one win away, it's going to have huge consequences, let alone two. And in a heartbeat, it did take them from being playoff contenders to not even in contention at all.
So, what do you think, Jeff? Can I put you on the spot here?
Yeah, I won't go as far as you are saying that there was certainly vindication. I believe there certainly are some questions that need to be asked regarding this. It is a little fishy, but I also do believe what the Canada West is saying, that they would have done the same to any school. But the questions regarding is it fair compared to other incidents in the past, it's not fair when you look at it that way.
So you disagree with the decision, but you don't think this was a shot at SFU in particular. I do.
I don't believe it was a shot at SFU, but yeah, the decision itself is not consistent with other similar decisions made in the past.
I just say, if I'm SFU, at least we're getting the hell out of this joke scene.
Well, you have to think that, yeah, they're probably just wanting to get out of there even faster than originally thought now. It has been and for the Canada West and for the other schools, for UBC and everyone else, it's sad that it's ending this way. It really is.
Set up this interview with Val Schneider, Jeff. How did you get it, and how what was his tone? What's the story here?
Well, I contacted Canada West. Val Schneider is the executive director of Canada West. He's in Edmonton. And I just wanted to talk with him so I could get their story on how this came about and, more specifically, how they came to this decision. And basically, it is a CIS decision. There's a committee made up of a member from each conference. So there's a member from Canada West, one from Ontario, et cetera. and they got together, they reviewed it, they made a decision, and I asked him about that decision.
But, Jeff, you mentioned it's a Canada West decision. My understanding is in this interview, I listened to it, of course, and my understanding is the league made a recommendation this was a Canada West decision in the end.
Well, there's a CIS eligibility committee of which the Canada West is a part, and yeah, there's recommendations made either way.
Yeah.
It's a bit confusing, but it's quite clear that everyone, whether it's Canada West or CIS, they were on the same page. They both agreed that this was the appropriate action to be taken.
Daniel Demian, Jeff. Daniel Demian. It's a double standard, and it's sad. Okay, I'm going to play that interview. Stay with us, Jeff. We'll talk to you after, okay?
Okay.
One of our members contacted Simon Fraser and asked for a clarification on what basis this individual was eligible, because he had made contact with the University of Calgary, and he had been told by the University of Calgary that the only way he could play, the transfer rule being waived, as you know, we have a rule that if you move from one university to another university, you have to sit out a year. The only exception is if you're accepted into a master's degree program. And so that's what that individual was told, yet he showed up on the eligibility list as being enrolled in Art's fifth year. From that point on, I became involved, asked for a clarification of why, and was told this individual was enrolled in a graduate diploma program in business administration. The regulation states that this is a diploma program. We went to the website. That program is listed as being a diploma program for part-time, that's done part-time over 12 months, and they're online courses. And on that basis, I felt that the individual, and it did not fit into the database of the AUCC, which is the academic body, and it's not recognized as being a master's degree program. And on that basis, I had ruled the individual ineligible. Eligibility is a CIS matter. So from there, it goes to the CIS Eligibility Committee. The committee is made up of representative of one member from each conference. So there's five, total of five people sit on the Eligibility Committee. They reviewed information. Simon Fraser was late in getting information to them. Finally, on September the 24th, there was a letter received from the Associate Dean of Business Administration, Simon Fraser, saying that the individual had been admitted into the master's degree program in business administration. So on that basis, really, the eligibility committee, and I say it's the CIS eligibility, not a Canada West eligibility committee, ruled this individual had not been eligible for the first part of the season.
Right, until the 24th.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay, and so once the eligibility committee made that ruling, which was a week ago, Simon Fraser was given the opportunity to put in a compassionate appeal to the eligibility committee, and that appeal was held on Monday of this week, and it was not accepted by the eligibility committee. So on that basis, you know, that student-athlete was ineligible for the first part of the season, and Canada West has it in their bylaws that if a member uses an ineligible athlete, they have the right to apply sanctions and penalties, and that's what was done in this case. The eligibility committee had recommended that no action be placed on the student-athlete, because really it was not really his fault, and so we followed that wish by the eligibility committee and saying that the individual can continue playing for the rest of the season.
And is there any other penalties handed out here aside from the forfeiture of those games? Is the coaching staff or anyone at Simon Fraser, or is it possible
yes,
that they could face
further? Yes, there has been a fine levied to Simon Fraser University as well.
Okay, to the school or to the coaching?
To the school.
Okay, and are you able to say the amount of that fine?
No, I would not. If Simon Fraser wants to reveal it, that's fine.
Right. So, really, was this a case of confusion on the part of Simon Fraser, or did they knowingly play him as ineligible?
Well, I'm not sure if they, you know, certainly the coaching staff certainly didn't, I don't believe, you know, knowingly play them ineligible. I don't believe that. I don't know. But somewhere along the way, someone was not aware of the rules. Those eligibility certificates, by the way, I should mention to you, have to be signed off by the director of athletics and or, pardon me, the director of athletics and the registrar or designate.
Right. Okay. It's also unfortunate just with the departure of Simon Fraser from Canada West this year, and this, I guess it's obviously no one wanted it to go this way, but it is disappointing for sure.
Well, certainly, and I don't think, you know, there's, you know, I've heard some speculation going on that we're trying to punish Simon Fraser or anything. That's the farthest thing from the truth. We would have done this same thing to any other member had they been in violation.
All right. Well, thanks again for your time. I appreciate it.
You're welcome.
Okay. Have a good one.
Take care. Bye.
Well, there you have it, Jeff. So in the end, Jeff, you know, it was a CIS issue, but it was a Canada West decision. Sorry.
Yeah, well, I mean, you heard him say there at the end, and that's the issue you have. Well, that's the thing you have issue with, I guess, is him saying that it, you know, there is no ill will, there's no vindictiveness here. You know, you can. We'll probably never know for sure.
No, but, I'd like to believe him. Maybe it was a subconscious thing, but I'm hearing it was a couple schools from Alberta. You know, and obviously somebody brought this up.
Well, the real question for me is, why does this keep happening? You know, and it happens in basketball. We've seen it in hockey. We've seen it in football in the past. Why is this so difficult to administer? Are the rules that confusing? Maybe they are. I don't know. Clearly, there is a problem that has not been fixed.
Well, and Jeff, my problem, and it was Sean Olson's problem too, is just have a black and white rule. And he said it just depends on the color of the moon that day. And, you know, I'll go back to the Trinity Western thing. UBC had a situation with hockey a couple years ago, and Sean brought it up. And that's bad. That is bad. You know, you've got a situation where it affected a playoff game. The conference admits it. It's just, well, it's too expensive to change it around. Yeah, I mean, and now you do it like this. I mean, it's Mickey Mouse, and I got no, there's no leeway here, Jeff. Sorry.
Well, these aren't stupid people that are running athletics at these schools. So you'd have to think then that this is a complex issue of eligibility. You'd think it would be pretty straightforward. Clearly, the league has not made it so. And as I say, it's something that needs to be fixed because I can guarantee it'll happen again if it's not. We've seen it time and time again. Almost every year now there's an issue.
Well, and then the other one it does is SFU, basically in football, and this was a team that was, you know, people were getting on them, all this stuff. They almost get to leave the conference like martyrs in a way right now, you know?
As I said, it's a sad departure for Simon Fraser. I mean, you know, it's they certainly see it as a positive going to NCAA. It wasn't their main reason for going. Certainly wasn't that they disliked Canada West, I don't believe. But it's really sad that this is the way they're exiting.
I just think they got jobbed on this one. I really do. Whether it was vindictive or not, Jeff, I think the wrong decision was levied when, you know, and I've looked at it that, you know, the one that got, and we dealt with a lot of it last year. We were on top of that one, the Trinity Western suspension. Coach Scott Allen in the first game versus UBC, and that was a playoff game, and they won by a point, and they're taking two wins away from a guy who, in blowouts, really didn't have much of a factor in the games.
Well, that's what I mean about inconsistency. Yeah, it doesn't make sense when you look at it that way.
So there you have it. Okay, Jeff, thank you very much.
Thank you, Daryl.
So you don't think it was vindictive, eh?
I don't think so.
It looked like it. I'm not okay. Oh, you've actually convinced me a little bit that maybe I'm wrong, but I mean, I'd vote yes. I'm leaning towards it was, whether it was subconscious, whether it was a couple schools, and you know, even Val Schneider mentioned it there, the head of the Canada West. Some school started this, and Calgary, hey.
You heard him mention that Calgary was involved with this player, so you'd have to think that they were involved in this somehow, but who knows? We'll never know probably the full extent of what really went on, but I do agree with you, it's a bit fishy, but I don't think there's any ill will.
You're too political. too diplomatic, Jeffrey. Too diplomatic. Okay, Jeff Sargent. Jeff, thanks very much for doing this. I appreciate it.
No problem. Anytime, Daryl.
Okay, we're going to take a break. When we're back, we're going to get into UBC Thunderbird men's basketball. They get their season underway. It's a big one this Friday night at War Memorial Gymnasium. I tell you, if you're on campus, go check this game out. It'll be UBC taking on their rivals. It's not Victoria anymore. It is the Trinity Western Spartans. When we're back, Verdon Opp, assistant coach, UBC men's basketball, will be with us. You're listening to 101.9 FM.
This boy and girl coming home from school look quite content with life. And why not? They're looking forward to an important date, dinner at home with the family. This boy home with the family. What's the matter? Doesn't that sound exciting to you?
Luckily, UBC students have lots of on-campus dining options.
World-famous Blue Chip Cookies. Located on the main concourse of the sub, Blue Chip features yummy baked goods and cookies made in-house. Blue Chip opens at 7 a.m. to serve all your early morning latte needs and has proudly served certified fair trade organic coffee since 2004. This business is owned and operated by the AMS, your student society.
Welcome back to Winners Barbecue on 101.9 FM, CITR Radio, Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada. Big basketball game going on at the War Memorial Gymnasium this Friday night. It is... It's their biggest rival, whether they want to admit it or not. I'm sure they're going to, though. As UBC men's basketball gets their season underway versus the Trinity Western Spartans, these teams met in the Canada West Divisional Pacific Division Final last year. UBC knocked them out in that one. With us on the line right now, assistant coach for UBC men's basketball, Verdon Opp. Verdon, how we doing? And you got to be excited to get the season underway.
Yeah, we're doing really well, and we definitely are more than excited to get the season underway. Preseason's come and gone finally, so yeah, it's definitely ready to take the next step to our season.
So Trinity Western, they are your big rival. Is that fair to say now?
They're one of our rivals. I still think, because of the history, I think University of Victoria is still our biggest rival, just because we've been playing. Two schools have been battling for so many years. I guess lately now, the last couple of years, you could make a case for the Calgary Dinos as well, seeing as how we won the Canada West Championship on their floor last year, and then they returned the favor, unfortunately, and beat us for the Canada West Championship last year. So, but Trinity, we've had some good battles with them in the past years, and we had a couple of good battles with them last year. So I think we can look forward to somewhat. A lot the same this year too.
I disagree, Verdon. I think they're your big rival.
Well, you know, we have a lot of rivals. I just, you know, it depends. I guess it depends who you talk to, right? I think we won the season series on them last year. We lost one game on their home court where we blew an 18-point lead, and then we swept them in the playoffs. And you know, we didn't get a chance to play them in the final four. But yeah, you know, they're definitely a talented team, and. It just seems like the last 5-6 years, it seems like everybody kind of ends up being our rival. So I guess you can kind of pick your poison.
It is going to be fun, though, Verdon. You know, I've talked about it. It's a tragedy, I think, the Canada West. You now play Trinity Western Victoria only twice this year as opposed to – it used to be four. It got down to three. Now it's twice. You will not be traveling to Langley or UVic this year, which I think is a shame, especially Victoria. But – it does put a little more significance on these games. And, you know, one thing that Trinity Western does is they're going to be getting those buses ready to come into your gym on Friday, Verdon.
Yeah, it seems to be a common trait with them over the years is they definitely have their loyal following. But, you know, I think it's a good thing. It just means adds more excitement to our home games as well. And, helps our guys get a little more focused. It's not that they need a little inspiration to get ready for the home opener.
Yeah, should be a fun one. Vern, break it down. We'll get into your team in a moment, but break down this Trinity Western team. They lost a couple players from a year ago, Jamie Vaughn and Brian Bamman, some very good players. But the guy I want to ask you about is a newcomer coming over from the NCAA. He's only got 1 year of eligibility, played at Portland State, used to play for Scott Allen at White Rock. Tell us about this kid, Tyler Mara. Tell us about this player and what we should look out for him this weekend and what he brings to Trinity Western.
Well, Tyrell's been one of the top players in BC, I think, since he was in grade 8. At least he's been well-known. He had a good, solid career over at Portland State. And now that he's back home playing in his, I guess you could say, his hometown sort of, he's a huge addition to them just with his experience of playing down south. Tyrell's always been one of those players that will just do whatever it takes to win. He's just a natural leader. And no question, he's gonna help that team. But with that said, I think it all starts and ends again with Jacob Dirksen.
Jacob Dirksen, CIS player. Well, first of all, what kind of player is Tyler Mara? What kind of game does he play? Then we'll move on to Jacob Dirksen.
He kind of does a bit of everything. He's a big guard. I guess his specialty might be catching and shooting the three. But he's just a leader. He'll get the team in their offense. He gets guys the right ball, the ball in the right position. As a big guard, he can post up as well. So he's pretty strong down low. Plays tough defensively. Good, solid all around player.
So he's maybe stepping in and taking, say, their Brian Bamman role.
He'll do more. He's definitely capable of doing more than Brian Bamman. I mean, I don't think he's quite the spot-up shooter Bamman was. I'm not taking anything away from Tyrell, but Brian, I think that was definitely his specialty. But Tyrell's capable of doing a lot more than Brian and Jamie Vaughn were able to do for them.
Ah, so quite a good addition. It'll be fun to watch. I mean, okay, there you go. Jacob Dirksen, though, I mean, this is obviously a guy you guys tried to recruit in last year's CIS Player of the Year. 11 rebounds per game, 21 points per game. Had some big games versus you guys last year. And, you know, my thought with Jacob Dirksen, he's not that spectacular. He doesn't seem to make the spectacular moves, Vern, but he's just a big guy who can just post up, grab those rebounds, and he's just a steady, solid player, isn't he?
Yeah, he really is. I think it's just his basketball IQ really stands out. There's really nothing flashy about his game. He just knows how to play the game. He goes about it the right way, plays hard, and just with his size down low, he's a tough matchup because he can also take the ball out and shoot the three as well. And, his rebounding, his scoring, his numbers all speak for itself. And, Canadian Player of the Year says a lot about him. He had a great year last year, and I'd expect him to have just as big a year this year as well.
So, Jacob Dirksen. Okay, Vern, let's get into your guys' team. Simple, because it's interesting to me, is because, you know, you've lost Matt Racher, you've lost Bryson Cool, so it's going to be a new-look front court this year. The name I'm hearing, Kamar Burke, is that the guy who's going to be on? I assume you're going to have a little committee on Jacob Dirksen, but is Kamar Burke the guy we're going to be watching to really take this guy on?
I think to start anyway, Kamar will definitely be the matchup on Jacob. Kamar's got a lot of CIS experience. He's been just a huge addition to us so far. Hasn't maybe put up the numbers in preseason that a lot of people would expect, but considering he's been out 2 years, it's kind of natural for him to just kind of get used to the players and our systems and everything. But there will be other players checking Jacob as well. But Kamar is definitely one guy to watch this season. I think the fans at UBC at War Memorial are going to be really, really excited to watch him play this year.
So tell us about Kamar Burke, transfer from Thompson Rivers. I'm hearing great things about this forward.
Yeah, really he was just the only player Thompson Rivers really had in the last few years. He was always 20-plus points, double figures in rebounds. I think he's led the CIS the last 2 years he played in block shots. He's just a phenomenal athlete. But really the thing we found out the first couple weeks of practice this year is that he really understands the game and sees the floor really well. He's a great passer, just really a perfect guy to come in. He's a great team player. he'll score inside for us. He'll score outside for us. He's going to rebound for us. He's going to block some shots, and you're probably going to end up seeing some pretty spectacular dunks from him as well. So he'll be a real treat to watch, and he's been a real treat to coach so far.
So you're pretty high on Kamar Burke. Also up front, I'm hearing Balraj Baines. Are we looking at this guy stepping up for UBC and really contributing a lot more than he has in the past?
Yeah, well, that's definitely the plan. I know Balraj is really trying, working hard to step up and make a big contribution. He had his moments late last year where he had some decent outings for him. Right now, it's really just up to Balraj to step up and produce when given him the opportunity. He still struggles at times finishing some easy hoops inside, but defensively, he definitely changes everybody's shots with his size, and he is a good shot blocker. So hopefully, Balraj, among others, can step up and contribute big minutes for us this year.
Fourth-year player now on your team. This is a guy who has shown some excellent glimpses for you in the past, but he also has been inconsistent for you at times. Brent Malish. What kind of year are we expecting out of Brent Malish this year?
We're expecting huge things from Brent. Really, he has been really solid, especially the last 2 years. He's led our team in rebounding for two consecutive years. It's a guy that scores inside four, shoots the three really well. I mean, at a high percentage, has always given us good minutes down the stretch. Unfortunately, Brent's really been out with a bad knee all preseason. In fact, I think yesterday was his first day of practice. So he's back this week. He will play this weekend. As to how many minutes, really, it just kind of depends on how he feels after a few more days of practice and how he feel what kind of game shape he's in. But I think once Brent gets going, he's going to be once again a huge contributor for us. And he's the type of guy that we're going to look for to help us with rebounding, scoring, doing a bit of everything.
What's been his problem, though? Because he has been inconsistent.
I think for Brent, it's just been sometimes it's been his conditioning a little bit has kind of hurt him. But a lot of it, it's just been we play so many guys. A lot of teams just go to a 7-8-man rotation. And over the last 5 years, we've really, played 10 to 12 guys a game. And sometimes you kind of get lost in the shuffle. But, I wouldn't say inconsistent. I think sometimes the opportunity is there for him to step up. And other times, when you have a guy like when he's played in the wings of Casey Archibald and Chris Dick and others, it's not always, it's hard to always be the go-to guy with those guys around.
Well, without Chris Dick, that excuse isn't going to fly anymore, over
him. Well, no, it's just, Chris isn't there, but, there's still Josh and Kamar, and, Brent's going to get his shots and get his play, and we expect big things from him. I don't really know if it's been just inconsistency. I think it's just been a matter of having so many other guys around that are capable of doing things.
Okay, we're still going with that one. That's what you guys always tell me. We got all these players. The big question, though, with your team is obviously the loss of Chris Dick. And, I don't think you're hurt talent-wise, and I honestly don't think you guys know this yet, is Chris was such a dominant player down the stretch in a lot of games for you. And yes, he might have been injured last year, and yes, he might not have been putting up big points. I mean, only averaged 14 points per game last year. That was way down, and he was battling a back. But the fact was, when that fourth quarter came along, I mean, yes, Jacob Dirksen might have won best player in the country, but I'll take Chris Dick in a big game over Jacob Dirksen from what I've seen in the last few years in this conference. I mean, it has to be something for your team, and guys are going to have to step up. I'm not saying on a day-to-day basis you're going to miss Chris, but the big question is, Vern, and it's a fair question, is come crunch time, come the last 10 minutes in that clutch game when Chris Dick would have the ability and would on so many games take over, let's see if another guy can take over. That is the big question with your team.
It's a bit of a question, but I think that kind of sorts itself out. Before Chris took over, it was Casey Archibald that would always take over games. And then when he left, people were kind of always, okay, well, who's going to be that next guy to step up crunch time? And people were wondering, would Chris be able to be that guy? And Chris obviously proved over the last 2 years that he was that guy that could step up and score big points for us down the stretch and take over a game. And I think with Chris not being there this year, it's a chance for a couple other guys. It's a chance for
Josh White really to put his stamp on this team, to take over the game. And as he's done so far in the preseason, the games we've come from behind, Josh has been a big reason of why we've come back and won those games. I think a guy like Kamar Burke will be able to take over games. Blaine LeBranch, who's now in his third year, can have an opportunity to step up in that role. And you know, as you mentioned earlier, we're expecting big things from Brent Malish. I think Brent Malish has that ability to do that. So, you know, it'll sort itself out. It's something I think as coaches right now we're not too concerned about, because it just seems to have a way of other guys getting an opportunity and making the most of it.
Because you might find out Friday.
We could find out Friday, yeah. But, you know, it's one game of the year. I mean, guys, yeah. Everyone's making such a big deal about one game. And yeah, it's important, but it's really not more important than any other league game. They're all important. You know, it's just a matter of you can't get too high on the game and too low on the game. You just got, you know, it's going to be a game of runs, and you just got to, you know, you just can't put too much into one game. And
it is a little bit more important than some of your other games. Sorry for.
Well, I disagree. Like, I mean, yeah, it's a home opener, and you know, we're probably going to be battling Tierney for first, but we do play them again. We do have another crack with them again, and at some point we'll probably meet up in the playoffs. It's just, okay. I mean, they're all important because we want to win every game. Yeah. We go in with that attitude, but. You know, are we concerned about certain guys stepping up? No, not at all. I think we have enough talent on the team for some guys to step up in crunch time.
Okay. Also, Vern, tell us about these. I mean, you know, it's such a crowded backcourt for your basketball team, and I know you're a front court guy, but, you know, Denny Dumas, how's he fitting? And Nathan Yu, Alex Murphy, I mean, this is a battle for minutes in that backcourt, because you know, then you throw in your Blaine LeBranch and your Josh White. I mean, it is a battle back there. How are these guys all handling it?
Well, you know, it's so far so good. The level of competition and practice from day one has been great. You know, the guys are aware of the competition, the talent, how many guys we have in the backcourt, and so far in the preseason, you've seen different guys actually, you know, have their spurts. Nathan Yu's been solid at times. Denny came off the bench last week and hit a couple big threes for us. Josh and Blaine have been, you know, they've been starting. Alex Murphy, actually, when we didn't start Josh the one game, has come in and had three really strong preseason games. Any of those guys are capable of starting and capable of coming in and having a huge effect on the outcome of the game. So it's going to be tough to get everybody playing this, keep everybody happy, but I think it's a luxury that we're lucky to have.
And last one, Vern, Chris Posthumus, the...
Chad Posthumus, you mean.
Oh, sorry. I was close. We'll let it go.
Just let it go.
Chad Posthumus, your big recruit, the 6'10 guy from Winnipeg. Work in progress. Do I have to taper my expectations for this year?
Most definitely. Definitely a work in progress. You know, it's a huge step for anybody just to go from high school basketball, step right into CIS and put up numbers. I mean, I think it's something that he's finding out real quick himself, that just the compete level, not only in games, but just in practice every day, showing up to practice, off hours, working in the weight room and everything. It's really a huge step up. You know, we do have high expectations for him down the road as to what he can give us this year. You know, time's going to tell. He's definitely found it difficult in the preseason. But he's had his moments in practice where he's played really strong. So it's just, you know, it's like any post-pro, I think you just got to give him a little more time than usual to get his feet wet and to get comfortable in what we're trying to accomplish.
So give him a grace period this year.
Yes. I think any person coming out of high school, I think they need that.
Okay. But next year I can be a little harder?
You can be a little harder next year, yeah.
Okay, I'm going to save that tape, Vern. I'll save that tape. So, yeah, I mean, what's he having trouble with right now?
Really, it's just honestly the speed, the pace of the game, just the competitive to compete every time. I mean, he was such a big kid in high school. He put up, you know, ridiculous numbers, 30-plus points, 20-plus rebounds in games. He just had no competition in the guys that could match up with him. Now, at our level, okay, maybe there's not that many 6'10", 260 guys, but there are a few, you know, even Balraj is 6'9", you know, 220, can, you know, run up and down the floor with them. And it's really just the compete level. At high school, sometimes you can develop lazy habits over time because he was so physically gifted. And that's really the biggest thing right now is having him compete every second of every play.
So you got to mold this kid, hey?
Yeah, it's going to take time, but you know, he has been working hard, and he's, you know, he's trying to get better. He does, you know, he's catching on. It just takes time. That's all.
All right, so he's not going to be stacking up against Dirksen this weekend.
Chances are he probably won't be playing much against Jacob Dirksen. It's definitely a guy that we're looking to come in this weekend, yep, and contribute for us. You know, he's not, you know, if you're dressing for the games, which he will be, we're looking for contributions no matter who you are from the team. So, Everett, one of the things we with Coach Hansen over the years is you get your opportunities. It's what you make of those opportunities that decides for the future.
Okay, so we're probably going to see this kid play on Friday. Probably.
Yeah, I hope so. I mean, unfortunately, yep, he's sick right now, so he didn't practice today, but I would assume in a couple of days he should be feeling better, and we definitely hope to get him minutes.
Vern Knopp, assistant coach UBC, get their season underway this Friday versus Trinity Western at 8 o'clock. Should be a great game. How's your football pool doing, Vern? How you doing?
Do we have to talk about that? No, I was doing pretty good until this past weekend. Then I took a beating this weekend. So,
what's your fantasy record? What's the record?
Oh, my fantasy records. Both records are 4-3. So I got off to a rocky start in one. I was 0-3, but I'm on a 4-game winning streak now. So I just got to get once my running backs start figuring it out, then I should be okay.
2-5, Vern. I'm 2-5.
I think are you like 2-5 every year though? Like,
I don't even know. This year I thought I was good. Steve Slayton let me down. You know what I did? You know what I bloody well did? Marshawn Lynch owner who didn't a guy took him early. I didn't get Fred Jackson.
Yeah, well, I was going to keep it one, so I kept Marshawn, but I knew he wouldn't play the first three games. But, you know, Buffalo's offense has been so anemic. He's really the only offensive weapon they have, or that seems to be doing, you know, should be doing some stuff in the near future. But with the quarterback play there, it's been atrocious. But you're also the guy, I think, that drafted Jamarcus Russell in his rookie year. Was that not you? And
I told
you. If you go through the archives on your show, I think I said he'd be one of the biggest busts to ever play in the NFL. So
I don't even think he could start in the CFL, honestly. I don't think he could.
He couldn't. He's too slow. He's like a quarterback. Well, he's 260 pounds. There's no way he wouldn't be able to move.
He's got a hell of an arm, though. He could throw that outlet pass down the court, Vern. I don't know if anybody would catch it. It might hit the wall.
You've seen his windup. It takes a long time for him to wind up. So, no.
Awesome. Vern, have fun on Friday. Thanks for doing this.
Thanks, Joe.
All right, Vern Knopp, assistant coach, UBC men's basketball. Okay, when we're back, we're going to talk to Milan Dragicevic. What happened to the UBC men's hockey team on the weekend? Off to a great start. They then get swept by a 1-2-1 Lethbridge team. UBC just like that in fifth place, tied for fourth, but in fifth place. You know, it's still early in the year, but, you know, they're six in. It's only a 28-game season, so it ends in a hurry. UBC gets swept on the weekend by Lethbridge. To tell us why, what happened, Milan Dragicevic, head coach, UBC men's basketball, will be with us. We're going to take our final break. You're listening to Wiener's Barbecue on 101.9 FM.
We are now going to practice our continental way of eating. We pick up our silverware, index finger in the back of the fork, index finger on top of the knife.
What's the matter? Doesn't that sound exciting to you?
Luckily, dining at the Sub is a little less formal.
Come to the Moon Noodle Bar, located in the lower level of the Sub, for fast and friendly service. We serve up spring rolls, combos, chicken wings, rice bowls, and made-to-order stir fries, Monday through Friday, 11 a.m. till 7 p.m. This business is owned and operated by the AMS, your student society. Sha-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la.
Still love me. Call out a
Okay, everybody, welcome back to Winner's Barbecue here on 101.9 FM, CITR Radio, Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada. With us on the line, the head coach of the UBC Thunderbird men's hockey team, Milan Dragicevic. Coach, how are we doing today?
Well, we're doing all right. We had a good skate today, and things are going okay. It was a nice day today in Vancouver.
There you go. It was a beautiful day. Coach, got to ask you, you know, you got off to such a great start this weekend, this season. You come into the weekend ranked. You go into Lethbridge. You lose both games, Coach. 6-4 on the Friday, 2-1 on the Saturday. You're now 3-2-1 to start the season. Basically, what happened on the weekend?
Well, there are two different games. On Friday, we gave them a lot of power plays, and they scored four power play goals. And even though we scored three power play goals, at the end, they deserved to win the game on Friday. There's no question they were the better team. On Saturday, we played a lot harder. We played a lot more desperate. You could tell that by the shots that we had. We moved the puck really well. We had 22 shots in the third period. We just could not beat Scott Bowles in net. He was a man that was just playing on fire. He was unconscious. He made some great saves, and sometimes you get that where a goaltender just steals the show, and that's what he did for us. It doesn't matter. We got to find a way to win. It's just disheartening not to get any points on the weekend.
Yeah, Coach, tell us about the game on Saturday. You know, I'm just looking at the statistics here. You did outshoot them 44-23. You had 21 shots in the third period, as you said, and you lose the game 2-1. Was this a game where you guys played extremely well and Scott Bowles just stole it from you, or were there things that just you didn't do right in that game? Was this just a case you played great, but the other goal
beat
you?
You know what? It was as close to a 60-minute effort that we did. When you would shoot a team a double like that and you get 20 shots or so in the third period, the goaltending was just a difference. And like, there were good chances. We had second and third opportunities. And you know what? We have to find a way to win those games. It doesn't matter how good you play. It's beyond moral victories. It's beyond anything else besides getting 2 points after the game. And it doesn't matter. We're not happy with this. We're not complacent. We have a bye week coming up there, so we got to get really prepared for next weekend against Alberta.
And you mentioned, Coach, the penalty kill on the Friday night. You did really well your first weekend. Manitoba, on the weekend against you guys a couple weeks ago, did get some power play goals against you. Then you give up 4 out of 8 to Lethbridge on the Friday. You did a good job on the Saturday, but the penalty kill, not where you'd like it to be at this point of the year.
No, not at all. And if you look at the percentages throughout every team, all percentages are way low right now. And I don't know if it's a sign of time to come, but, you know, penalty kill usually takes a little bit longer than the power play. And unfortunately, it's just the way it is. But power plays are clicking for most teams around the league. And not where it's at. 5-on-5 play, we're okay. You know, and it's goals for, we're okay as well. But it's just a matter of executing at the right times on the power play and making sure the penalty kill is up to par.
One thing you are getting, Coach, and you've talked about it with me a lot this year, you are getting balanced scoring. You only got the 5 goals on the weekend, but it seemed even those 5 goals, defensemen, forward lines, everybody seems to be chipping in right now offensively.
Yeah, and we have a team that has to score by committee, and, you know, if we're not scoring by committee or just relying on one line, then we're in trouble. For example, Lethbridge, they scored, you know, every game that they scored or every goal that they scored against us last weekend was done by one line, and that really hurt us. We had to find a way to shut those lines down, and we need scoring by committee, and we're hoping that down the road scoring by committee is going to pay off rather than just having one line scoring all the goals.
And, you know, you mentioned, Coach, you got the bye, but coming up, your next game, it's not going to be easy. The Alberta Golden Bears come to town, and you talk about a team with scorers. Chad Clausen leads the Canada West right now, 15 points in 6 games so far this season. I know they've got some games to play this weekend, but and you get the bye right now, but you do have Alberta. That is a team you're going to have to be sharp for in a week, eh?
Well, you know, Alberta, they haven't changed much from last year. They've added some good offensive players plus some good defensive help. they're scoring goals in bunches. They really capitalize on their team's mistakes. And we know for us to beat them, we have to play a sound defensive game. We can't take penalties. We got to be good in the power play, and we need Frankie Tuat to be our best player on the ice. That's what we have to do to play against Alberta.
And Frankie Tuat, you stuck with him for both games on the weekend. He started every game, played every minute for you so far this year. Is this a trend we got going? Are you going to really lean on this guy from here on in?
Absolutely. Every team in this league has a number one goaltender that they lean on and play 80-90% of games. And the last 3 years, we've had fortunate to be Festa and Tuat to split. But this year, Frankie's our guy. He's going to play majority of the games unless something drastic happens. And, you know, he's paid his dues. He's been in this league for 4 years. And, you know, we have the utmost confidence in him.
3-2-1 to start the year, Coach. You're tied with Lethbridge, but they swept you, so they've got the tiebreaker. You're fifth place right now. 6 games into the year. You're into this bye week now. Happy with your start? I mean, yeah, you got those 2 losses, but you are right in. You haven't hurt yourself right now.
Well, we haven't hurt ourselves. We're definitely happy with the way we started with 3-0-1. And we needed a split in Lethbridge. That's the biggest, because there's a big difference between going 4-1-1 and being 3-2-1. The big difference. And we let Lethbridge come back into it. We could have been a 4-point difference. But, you know, we have to control what we can control. We play Lethbridge 4 more times. We play Calgary 6 more times. So, you know, we're not going to panic. We have to get better ourselves. We know the little things that we have to do in order to get into the top 4 to make the playoffs.
Well, Andrei Gusevic, head coach UBC, they've got a bye this week, but then you get Alberta, the top program in the country, coach. They're going to be here next weekend. Best of luck, coach. Thanks for doing this.
Thanks, Darryl.
Okay, that was Andrei Gusevic, head coach UBC Thunderbird men's hockey team. Rough weekend for them. They go to Lethbridge, get swept. They were off to such a great start. Now they're off to a good start. It's a tough race in the Canada West men's hockey playoff this year. Alberta currently sitting in first, tied with Alberta at 11 points through only 6 games for Alberta, 8 games for Manitoba. So obviously Alberta has that tiebreaker. Then it's a jam through 3 through 5, but it's so early in the season. This could all change. Calgary, UBC, and Lethbridge all separated by 1 point. For 3rd to 5th, Calgary with 8, Lethbridge with 7, UBC with 7. UBC currently in 5th because Lethbridge swept them for the playoff spot. Well, Mike with Fletcher just coming into the studio right now. He will be on after me, and yeah, that means I get to go soon. I'm going to have pizza for dinner.
Pizza?
Yeah, I'm going to go downstairs and get some pizza.
That's a strange ritual for you. That,
I don't do it all the time, actually. So my mom wants me to get the bird flu shot or swine flu shot. What do you think? I don't know. I honestly don't know. I honestly don't know.
I don't know if I'm going to get either.
I got to call my, because I have Crohn's disease. So I have a feeling I'm going to get this shot and that's going
to
make me sick.
I think I'm going to be forced to have the shot.
The wife?
Work, probably.
Work? Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
They're offering it for free, I think. I just don't know when. And I'm pretty sure they're going to make me get one.
I get it tomorrow. Or I can get it because of Crohn's. I think I'm on a high priority list if I want it. I don't know what that means. This is my mom. My mom was like all over me today.
See, I've never gotten a flu shot, and I've never gotten the flu.
You've never? I get the flu.
I get a cold. Solid flus. Runny nose,
you know,
sore throat.
My favorite flu I ever had. My favorite flu. It actually kind of was cool when I look back on it. Is I woke up at like 7 in the morning. It's when I was living at home. I woke up at like 7 in the morning, and I started throwing up all morning. It was something else. I was lying in my parents' bed with bowls and just barfing all morning, like, you know, for like hours. It was crazy. It was like a good 3-4 hours of just periodic vomit. And like I'm a good barfer. I'm loud. I'm a loud barfer. I get right into it. And this stuff was just flying out of me. It was barf. It was a barf. And then I went downstairs and I took a sleeping pill or something, like a Valium or something. I woke up. Gone.
Sure you just weren't hungover? You got it all out of your system finally in the morning?
That's the thing. I have no idea what happened. I don't know, and I wasn't, like, fine, you know, because I was so tired from the morning of vomit. Yeah. Barf, if that's... Who was? What movie character?
Strange. Or Spaceballs.
John Candy. Well done there.
Bartholomew.
Was that actually?
The full name was Bartholomew.
Great movie.
I was downtown on East Pender in Chinatown.
Yep.
There's a store there called Mr. Coffee.
Mr. Coffee.
Now, where is Mr. Coffee from?
It was like an old coffee. Oh, is it an actual movie character?
Well, for me, it was from Spaceballs as well.
I didn't know there was a Mr. Coffee.
Where Dark Helmet is trying to find on the radar, and he's looking at the screen, and there's all these bubbles going up and down, up and down. And you go, you call this a radar? No, sir, we call it Mr. Coffee.
He was talking about the coffee machine, right?
Yeah.
Hell of a movie.
Awesome.
I own the DVD. I bought it. It was one of those I bought like real cheap one day. The Blu-ray's out.
I had the VHS tape.
Yeah.
Then I had the DVD. I haven't got a Blu-ray yet.
The Blu-ray's out.
Is it?
Spaceballs the Blu-ray.
Is there any extra features on that one?
There has to be. There has to. It's out there.
It's a classic movie, though.
It is. Now, the Mel Brooks movies, of course. Spaceballs, Blazing Saddles, Young Frankenstein.
Silent Movie.
Yeah, I don't really... That one I don't really know too well. No. History of the World. You ever watched that part two or what was it called?
I think it was part one.
But was it History of the World part one?
There was trailers at the end of part one for part two,
but
it never came out.
There was Hitler on Ice, Jews in Space. great. The one I wasn't crazy about. What Life Stinks.
Oh, when he was a rich man.
Yeah, and then had to become
poor man.
Jeffrey Tabor, I think was his name, was like the evil guy. He played Hank Kingsley in... Larry Sanders Show, and he was in Arrested Development.
Okay.
I think, you know what I'm talking about?
I think so, yeah. I remember seeing the movie. I'm just trying to.
Yeah, I think he was again. I think he was the bad guy. Did you watch any of the shows on Sunday that I watched? There was Dexter, Mad Men, and Curb Your Enthusiasm.
I was watching the hockey game.
Californication.
And then I watched a dumb movie.
What'd you watch?
Paul Blart, Mall Cop.
You know what? I'm a huge King of Queens fan. I still watch the reruns.
Yeah.
And I was kind of excited for Paul Blart, Mall Cop when it came out in theater. Never did it. I might have even rented the... Because I got the PlayStation 3, and you can play Blu-rays on it. So I don't know if I got it in Blu-ray or not.
See, I recorded it off of the Movie Central. Yeah. It was in the high-definition channel, so I recorded it. And I knew it was going to be a bad movie. But,
well, it did amazing at the box office. Oh,
I know. So I was assuming they had to have some good parts.
Yeah.
But I didn't find the good parts.
It's really too bad, eh?
I know.
Yeah.
I was disappointed.
Do you like King of Queens? I think
I watch it periodically.
Well, it's the Jerry Stiller stuff that I... Yes. If he's not in the episode...
I hate the wife/daughter. I don't like her very much.
Okay. The guy who I really like is Spencer Tolman. Is that his name? Patton Oswalt.
Yeah, his friend, the shorter friend.
Yeah, that's his name in the show is Spence. Patton Oswalt.
Mm-hmm.
He's in a lot of weird stuff. He's also he's always in Reno 911 stuff.
Oh, is he?
Yeah, he's always in that. And he was actually in Seinfeld.
What was he in Seinfeld?
I was watching the other day. He was in a Seinfeld. You won't get it because I didn't know. Do you remember the one where George was in a book club, Breakfast at Tiffany's? And he didn't read the book, so he went to rent the movie.
Yeah.
And it was out, so he went to the people's house. When he went to the video store, and they didn't have it, and the guy wouldn't let him, you know, wouldn't give out the address, the video store clerk was Patton Oswalt.
Okay.
Yeah. I didn't know that either. I never would have thought it.
Oh, no.
But Patton Oswalt was in that Seinfeld. Just saw it the other day. Yeah.
Oh, cool.
It's funny Seinfeld.
Definitely.
And that was the whole thing with Curb Your Enthusiasm. I'm going to tie this up here. I actually came back. Wow, look at that. We went somewhere. It was a big Seinfeld Curb Your Enthusiasm. It was Larry David and Jerry Seinfeld were... There was a lot of them in the episode.
Yeah.
Not as good as 2 weeks ago. I mean, there's been, I think, 6 episodes now this year. The two best didn't have Seinfeld in it. Any of the Seinfeld. But I'm excited the rest of the way. Okay, I'm going to go buy pizza.
Okay.
And I'm gonna end the show. I'd like to thank you, Mike, with Lecture Head.
You're welcome.
Coming up right after me. So big thanks to... Hey, wait a minute. I saw you at the Leafs game, didn't I?
Yes, you did.
I did see you at the Leafs game.
You freaked me out because you yelled my name and another guy
there was
right
somebody
beside
else
you.
Who you seemed much more excited to talk to than me.
Well, I just hadn't seen him in about 8 years, 9 years.
We talk nonsense every Tuesday. I did see
him. But he was more aggressive than you to get my attention.
Oh, he took... it was right. The game was over, I think, when I saw you.
Yeah. We were kind of getting ready to leave.
I went to Bob Saget. I got free tickets to Bob Saget.
How was that?
Great.
Yeah?
Yeah, it was fantastic.
I hear he's great live.
I recommend it. I mean, you know, you gotta pay, you know, we got free tickets, so, yeah. You know, that was fun. Okay, we're good then. Mike with Lecture Head coming on after me. I'd like to thank all my guests, Sean Olson from SFU Football, Jeff Sargent from our CITR Sports Department, Val Schneider from the Canada West, and Vern Knopp and Melandra from UBC Men's Basketball. Vern Knopp from UBC Men's Basketball and Milan Dragosevic from the men's hockey team. Okay, that is it. Thanks for listening. Have a great day, everybody.